Welcome to the Minister's Friend podcast with pastor and author Dr. John Kimball. The Minister's Friend is a podcast helping pastors and other church workers navigate the challenges of leading the flock. John has been a church planter, a local church pastor, a seminary professor, and a denominational leader. He coaches and mentors pastors and missionaries around the world. Drawing on over 30 years of experience in local, regional, and national ministry, John and some of his colleagues provide practical guidance on the topics you request. We are so glad you've joined us. And now, here's our host, Pastor John.
Thanks, Anna. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Episode 9 of the Minister's Friend Podcast. Our audience continues to grow. Thank you so much for your support. I'm so glad that you've joined us on the podcast today. We've spent the last several weeks talking about the need for pastors to have good, intentional mentoring relationships. The benefits of mentoring are enormous. They don't just impact the pastor's ministry, but their whole life. Mentoring invests in their spiritual maturity, so their relationship with our triune God goes deeper and becomes much more intimate. Mentoring invests in their Christ-like character, so the way that they conduct themselves in everything bears more fruit. It affects the way they relate to their spouse, their children, their parents, their congregation, their community, and also the way they minister to the lost and the needy around them. The problem is that one's relationship with their mentor is only as effective as is the trust, transparency, and passport the mentee extends. A protege that refuses to open their heart gains very little from the relationship. Violations of trust shut down the mentoring relationship entirely. And a pastor that remains unteachable, perhaps thinking that they don't need the mentor's input, well, they simply don't grow. Challenges in the mentoring relationship. That's the topic in this, the third and final segment of my conversation with Foy Bellier of the Warrior Priest Leadership Development Group. I'll have some closing thoughts, and we'll introduce our next topic in a bit. But first, here's Foy. You know, one of the reasons I wanted to chat with you about mentoring is because both you and I have had some pretty hard experiences with pastors that just, it didn't go well. The mentoring was in some cases rejected. In other cases, I'm thinking one of my particular cases, I actually went through a betrayal as a mentor with one of my mentees. And it doesn't always go well. There are challenges, and I think that these red flags, there are red flags that we can recognize. And I would just ask you, you know, where have you seen some of the mentoring of pastors breaking down? What are some of the challenges? And maybe we need to just say major challenges, because there's a lot of little ones too, but where the mentoring of pastors just doesn't gel, where it breaks down.
Yeah, I think we've touched on some of that already. With regard to being assigned to someone by someone farther up the food chain, where there is no relationship, where there isn't trust, where there isn't established transparency. So you go into the relationship suspicious from the mentee's perspective. Oftentimes from the other side of the coin with a mentor, when a difficult item is surfaced and we lovingly and carefully process that with the mentee, if they are not in the frame of mind or have not come to the place where they're desperate to hear from Jesus through the wisdom of someone he may have placed in their life, an ego erupts. Oftentimes they'll just either disregard what you have to say. And if that happens to me, if I'm in a mentoring relationship with someone and they blatantly disregard something I have to say, then we process that and it will become evident. One of two things will become evident. Either they were unaware of how they were coming across, or number two, there's no longer any utility in the relationship and they can check the box off. So a dissolution can occur at that point, either whether it's initiated by them or by myself. In terms of some of the struggles for dealing with a pastor's in a mentoring relationship, again, pastors are lonely, John. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes we have unrealistic expectations, romanticized ideals of what a mentoring relationship would be. And that can unintentionally contribute to the dissolution of those relationships as well. I think a lot of pastors are just simply overwhelmed with the scope of their task and don't have a lot of bandwidth to offer. And to systematically move through a mentoring relationship requires intentional and extended amount of time over the long term to really see the benefit. It's not just 3 half-hour sessions and you're going to be good to go. A lack of prioritization in the schedule. And again, I'm just going to be brutally honest here. I think a number of our pastors that we serve and spiritual leaders are emotionally and spiritually unhealthy, almost to the point of being unable to continue in their tasks. So when some of the things that we submerge come to the surface and we have to deal with them, we're unable to for whatever reason. And I think some of that is spiritual strongholds. Some of it, I think, is just being in, you know, just marking time for so long without resourcing that we don't know how to process that appropriately. And then oftentimes, I think families being in disarray can contribute to some of the challenges that mentoring requires us to press into. Because again, to be honest, our families, as our first congregations, require the greatest amount of intentionality. And when they're not functioning biblically, they cause the greatest amount of dissonance and discouragement. So when those things pop, sometimes a person cannot process it, handle it, and will pull the plug too. And I think that is a singular challenge that a lot of our pastors and our leaders are dealing with in a culture that is relentlessly egocentric, postmodern, post-Christian, all these descriptors. And quite honestly, our pastors, in terms of spiritual formation, are in many cases significantly underdeveloped.
I agree. And you know, we could talk about why that is. I think a lot of that actually lays on the churches that send them. A lot of them want to blame the seminaries, but I think that there's the spiritual formation needs to take place in the church that raises them up. And that could be, again, another whole series of podcasts. I just real quickly, there's one other piece that I have seen in mentoring, where it breaks down, and it's not the pastor's fault. It's because the church leadership undermines the mentoring relationship. I've had, one case where, you know, we had some leaders that just felt like because I was of a different denomination than the pastor that I was mentoring, that that wasn't a healthy situation, and they brought it to a close. They essentially strong-armed the guy. Where have you seen situations? And you don't have to speak of specifics, but, you know, what are some of the circumstances you've seen where the church or the church leaders actually stand in the way of the pastor growing in mentoring relationship?
Yeah, so with the ministry that I operate, Warrior Priest, I run into this frequently, John, where people are become aware of the ministry, of the mentoring ministry that's available to their clergy person or to their ministry leader, and inevitably they'll say one of two things. Why isn't the district superintendent or the bishop caring for this pastor? Why do we need to sanction or authorize or make provision for our pastor to meet with someone like you yourself said, who may not share our tribal convictions? And they will stand against it. Other times in non-denominational contexts where pastors are in need of care and of mentoring and counseling, the eldership or those who are in authority don't see the value for it either and will undermine and or subvert that process. So again, oftentimes for my own ministry, what I'm looking to do is to connect with and develop relationship with a pastor or ministry leader's key leaders so that they have a measure of the mentor and they understand the value add first person that this will bring to their clergy person. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. And I agree. I think that's what is needed for a lot of us that do this kind of mentored ministry is that we need to have a relationship not only with the pastor, but with the pastor's church. And I'll just take that one step further. There have been more than one case where on behalf of the pastor, I've had to have some difficult conversations with church leaders that were part of the challenges the pastor was facing. And that's
right.
Another role where the mentor actually can, in that friendship, in that relationship, because we're a trusted person, we can sometimes say things the pastor is not feeling welcome to or strong enough to say themselves. Foy Bellier, thank you so much for being our guest here on the Minister's Friend podcast. It's been great.
It's been a joy to join you here today, John. Keep up the good work.
If you are an elder, a deacon, a member of your church's council, or by your church's structure in any other kind of elder-level leadership, please understand that the mentoring we're espousing here on the Minister's Friend is for your benefit as well. Sometimes pastors have rough edges. Mentoring can help with those. Sometimes your leadership team has challenges and needs for which you don't feel equipped. Mentoring can help there too. And quite honestly, your own advocacy for your pastor to have a consistent mentoring relationship might be one of the most important gifts that you can give your entire congregation. Foy has recommended several books for us to follow up on our conversation these last few weeks. You can find them linked in the show notes for this episode. It's been so great having Foy with us. And I do hope to have him back again in the future to discuss the topic of spiritual warfare in the ministry. Next week, we start an entirely new topic. I'm sure you've read articles and maybe seen some studies. Pornography is running rampant in our churches. Men and women are both succumbing to its onslaught. Some local church elders and deacons are enmeshed in its net. And as much as it pains me to say it, a large number of pastors also struggle with this prolific addiction. Beginning next week, we'll be visiting with my friend Paul Zunker, the founder of Turn Back Ministries, a ministry that works with people stuck in sexual addiction. It's a tough topic and one we'd rather not have to talk about, but it's never been more important. I hope you'll join us. So, we're entering our third month. We've had some significant milestones. Our audience keeps growing, and now we're on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Podbean. Soon we also hope to be on iHeartRadio. If you've been blessed by the Minister's Friend, would you please do us a favor and leave us a review on whichever platform you listen to us? It really helps us. And would you please also tell your friends about us? We don't advertise, so your recommendation to your pastors and other church leaders is the only way we can grow. Thanks in advance for your help. And please know how much we appreciate your support. I'm glad you were with us today. Be sure to check out the show notes. And thank you so much for joining us here on the Minister's Friend podcast. Let's do this again real soon.
You've been listening to the Minister's Friend podcast with pastor and author John Kimball. Be sure to check out today's show notes for additional tools, resources, and information. If today's episode has been helpful to you, let us know. You can shoot us an email at podcast@johnrkimball.com. That's podcast@johnrkimball.com. You can also leave a note on our Facebook page. These are also the best ways to suggest topics for future shows. We want to hear from you. And please tell your friends about us. Until next time, may God bless you and your ministry with great fruit for His kingdom. Bye!